This podcast is brought to you by Learn Prime. Start your journey to becoming a great developer at learn.thoughtbot.com.
It still works, but it's just like hanging out in a weird way, and it's driving me crazy. Like, one time I let someone else use the mic, and they bend the damn cable. This is why we can't have nice things. Bullshit. Okay, I'm over it.
Hey, this is Gordon in Boston.
And this is Mark in San Francisco.
And this is Build Phase.
I'm beat.
Yeah.
Dragging ass.
Watching too much football last night?
Oh, yeah. Mm. You know me. I'm a big football person. No, but I did hear about, what's-his-face being on track for like 122 touchdown passes this season.
Yes. Peyton Manning, you mean?
That's who I'm referring to, yes.
Yeah. Made my fantasy week. One player. I went to sleep at halftime and I woke up and I had like 50 points in fantasy football, which is like half as many as I was supposed to get all week just from like one dude.
How does that work, by the way? Can you give me a quick rundown fantasy of football? Fantasy? Yeah. Like, I really don't know anything about it.
So you pick players on teams, like just any player.
Are there orcs?
They're not orcs. There's no.
So it's more football than fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, more proceed. Yeah. More football than fantasy. you pick players on just at any position. So quarterback, wide receiver, running back, tight end, a defense, and a kicker. And then you choose which one of them, like who's going to play for you that week. Lineups get locked, and then however they do in real life, you get points based on that for your fantasy team.
Okay, so you can build like a dream team.
Yeah, kind of, but like at any given week, you could have players that play against each other. You know what I mean? So like I had this, like last night, I had Peyton Manning as my quarterback, and then I can't remember the dude's name, something Tucker, the kicker for the Ravens, I had as my kicker. So like, I was just kind of rooting for touchdowns, like passing touchdowns, and then field goals for the Ravens, which is weird. It's a weird way to watch football.
Okay. What's the ultimate goal?
To get more. So you're playing head-to-head against someone else. So you, like, you and me would be playing against each other. So you set your lineup, I set my lineup. If I get more points than you, then that's a win for me and a loss for you. And then at the end of the season, there's a, like a whole playoff structure, and then, you know, someone ends up winning.
But what do you win? Is it just bragging rights?
Bragging rights. A lot of leagues do like cash prizes. So you have to do like a buy-in to get into the league. And then you get some percentage of the pot if you win.
Is this a legal form of gambling, or does just everyone in the government play fantasy football? So they don't care.
I think it's more the latter. Yeah.
Ah, makes sense.
Yeah.
I thought you'd get like some master sword or something.
Again, less bring fantasy, less fantasy, more football. So we're talking about table views.
Yeah, I thought we'd change it up this week and just talk about a specific class. And this is a common one. This is the anti-NS hipster.
Right. Let's start at the controller. How often do you actually use UI table view controller over UI view controller?
I don't. Typically.
You don't use UI table view controller.
No, because I don't think it adds that much. And I don't like having the table view as the view controller's view. I find that limiting.
Yep.
It seems like most of the time when I want to customize something, I'm just going to end up going back to a UI view controller that just has an outlet to a table view within it. And all it adds for you is that it will clear the selection on view will appear. It will flash the scroll indicators on view did appear. And it's keyboard aware. So if the keyboard comes up, it changes its bottom content inset to the height of the keyboard.
That's a weird thing to put on UI table view controller, don't you think? The keyboard thing, I mean.
I think they were thinking that you'd be using UI table view controller for forms, and they just tried to make it as easy as possible.
Right, except for that they didn't give us any class that has a cell with a Like, there's no really good way to, like, you have to create a custom cell if you want to put a text field in it. So it's not like, you know what I mean? I feel like they kind of went halfway there.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to, but you definitely should. If you're not, that means that then you're, like, holding a reference to this text field in a reusable cell, or you're referencing it with, like, a tag. Oh, God. Don't do that. Apple should just deprecate tag.
Yeah.
I'm going to file a radar right now. Get rid of tag and subviews on UIView.
Oh, like being able to just get a list of all the subviews on a view?
Yeah.
Yeah, that tends to encourage bad behavior.
It breaks encapsulation, right?
Yeah. Okay, so you're not, so you don't use, so then the only other thing that TableView Controller does give you is it automatically sets the delegate and the data source to the view controller, right?
Right.
Which is also maybe not great.
Yeah, it's like easy to get up and running, but not the ideal way to do things.
I've been trying more and more to abstract data source and delegate objects out. I really hate those two protocols. I think they're entirely too coupled. Am I crazy?
Explain. In what way?
Well, like one example is that the delegate pattern has view for header and section, but then the data source has title for header and section, and I don't understand why. I mean, maybe.
Yeah, I
guess.
I think it comes down to the delegate is for providing views, and the data source is for providing things that are kind of in the model domain, you know, strings.
Yeah.
Which protocol does height for row and index path fall into? I would expect data source for the reasons I just stated.
No, that's delegate.
Okay, well then, this shit makes no sense.
So like every time I try to abstract a data source or delegate out, I always start with the data source, right? Like I try to set the table views data source to a different thing. But then I always feel like inside the table, especially with the new reusable stuff from iOS 6, where you can do the DQ reusable cell with reuse identifier for index path, and you're always guaranteed to get a cell back, but you have to do the registration first. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So like now if you're not using a nib to do that, or a storyboard or whatever, if you're not using a nib or a storyboard to register that class, then you have to do it in like viewDidLoad, right? So in viewDidLoad now I'm registering the class for a reuse identifier, but then I also have to know about that class inside the data source.
Right.
You know what I mean? So now I have that kind of like logic of what classes are inside my table view. I have that split across two different objects already, because the data source is the one that handles the cell for row and index path.
Are you required to register the nib or the cell in viewDidLoad? Can't you just call it at any point and then reload data on the table? I'm just thinking that you could just do that in the init of your data source object, and then after that, just reload the table view. Like maybe
yeah,
inject the table view into the data source.
But that right there is what I don't like again. Like you go down that path of now the data source has a reference to the table view itself, and all you're doing, like the point of all this is, like, yes, you can do that. You can register the cells from inside, like at any point. So you could register the cells whenever you create the data source, but then the data source has to have a reference to the table view. And the second you do that, every time that I've done that, what I end up with is essentially just I moved all the data source and stuff, all the data source and delegate methods, I just moved those into another object, and I didn't get any meaningful abstraction. Right now I have this gigantic data source / delegate object that is essentially a table view controller, except for it doesn't have any of the view did load, view will appear stuff.
Maybe your data source.
It's really frustrating.
Should have its own delegate to call back to the controller and get a reference to the table view. I'm kind of serious.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that the way I've been kind of treating it recently is instead of pulling out a table view data source object, I've just been pulling out a generic data source object that can do thing like that will handle, you know, I have a table view that shows, you know, a bunch of people, right? Everybody that works at ThoughtBot. Here's a list of everyone that works at ThoughtBot. So I have my, master view controller, whatever, my directory view controller that has a table view that lists everybody at ThoughtBot. That view controller actually would hold on to the delegate and data source of the table view. So that class would be the delegate and the data source. The table view controller would, or the view controller, whichever. Those would still have those methods, but then all the logic inside like organizing that, the data that will be displayed, gets pulled out into another object, right? So then I have, it's essentially like a set or an array at that point. But it can do other things too. Like it can have triggers to like refresh its data if it needs to pull new data down. It can, you know, it essentially has like a, you know, a person for road index path kind of thing, or a person at index if you don't have sections.
Okay, so what you're describing is, I think basically NS fetch results controller is a lot like what you're describing. It's a helper controller that facilitates moving stuff from the model layer through the controller into the table view.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Almost exactly. Because then you end up with, I just think that that's a better abstraction than trying to pull the table view, the data source and delegate out, which always leads to weird stuff like having to have them in the same object. So then you have crap called like table view data source delegate, which is just an awful name. And then like, then you need a delegate pattern to call back for like cell selection. So there's another one, right? So like if like did select row at index path, that gets called on the table view delegate. But then to do anything with that, you need a reference to the view controller, right? Like if you want to push a new view onto the stack and you don't want to do any kind of stupid hacky view hierarchy lookup, then you need to be able to have a delegate. You either need some kind of like a completion, like a selection block or something on the data source, or you need to have a delegate pattern to pass that index path and the object it represents maybe back to the view controller, so that then the view controller can instantiate the detail view controller and pass the model into. It's just like that kind of stuff sucks, you know?
Yeah. You could post a notification. Just thinking.
No, I know. Like there's a few different ways to handle it, but it always results in like you have this method that's obviously designed to, you know, did select row and index path. Do you get what I mean though about why like I always find that abstraction annoying, and like every time I do that kind of an abstraction where I pull that stuff out, like my knee-jerk reaction is like, yes, absolutely, this kind of delegate and data source stuff should be separate from the actual controlling of the view, 100%. But then they end up being coupled in ways that, like, the two protocols end up being coupled in ways that I don't expect, and the controller and, like, the concept of controlling the view and the concept of populating the view end up being coupled in ways I don't expect.
Circling back to cell selection, if you think of a cell just as any other user interface element that can receive a touch and then perform an action, does it make sense to start using target action on our cells? That way the table view delegate, how would this work? You could set a target and an action for an index path, and then the delegate object, when it receives did select row, can just turn around and send that message to that target with that index path. Would that be a good way to get that back up to the controller
Like, well, I'm having trouble following what that would look like.
You know what? I am too.
One thing that I did just do, like, literally 2 days ago, is create an architecture for, like, a static table view, right? So, like, I want a table view that I can pass any number of any sections and any cells into. And so the cells are all created outside of the context of the table view, right? So, like, essentially I created a cell subclass that has a selection handler on it. So that when, basically the way it works is that when did select cell at index path fires, it just gets the cell at that index path and then calls its selection handler, the block selection handler, if it has a selection handler. And then I'm actually passing the view controller into the selection block, right? So that the cell, even if you create, like, the completion handler takes in a view controller, any view controller. And so if you want to do something like push a new view onto the stack, you have access to the view controller that will be the source of the touch event, essentially.
But, okay, so let's say you want to push on a new view controller, like into a nav stack. Does that mean that the cell now has to know about that view controller that's getting pushed on?
Like, it doesn't know about the specific view controller. It just knows that there will be a view controller. It's weird.
Yeah, that seems a little odd.
Like, inside this architecture, I think it's the only good way. Like, there's other constraining factors to this architecture, right? But I thought about it for, like, almost a whole freaking day, trying to figure out the best way to do this. And this is kind of the best thing that I could come up with. But I don't know. Like, the cell, I don't know. Kind of splitting hairs, but the cell doesn't actually know about the view controller, right? Like, the block, if we want to think about the block as being, like, kind of an object, the block knows about the view controller, and then whatever created the cell knows that there should be a view controller. You know, so the cell has no way to just arbitrarily get at the view controller. It only is when executing the block, which could essentially happen inside, it could happen inside the view controller itself. You know, you could say, you know, get the cell from whatever data store system you're using, and then just call cell.selectionHandler and then pass in self from the view controller.
Okay.
So the view controller is what's executing the block, even though it's being held onto by the cell. I feel like it's kind of like what you were talking about in terms of, like, assigning a target in action to a specific index path, except that I'm just reusing the table view structure to hold on to that
right.
target in action.
Yeah, I guess blocks are a little more elegant in this example anyway. Since you're kind of replacing a delegate, a block makes a little more sense than target action, I think. I've just been working with static table views a lot lately, but not using the static table view feature of storyboards. So it's still a dynamic table view as you think of it, but it's mostly static data. Sometimes some stuff has to change. And it's still the ugliest code I've ever written. It's such a pain in the ass. Like, I can't believe that there is not a better way yet. I'd actually like to see this thing that you've done and see if it can be expanded so that we can, like, encapsulate the idea of a cell, like, in one object. So it can be fully configured, and we can just set up the structure and then feed it in, and then the table view will read out of that and implement the delegate and data source methods appropriately.
It ended up being, like, besides styling code, the actual table view controller ended up being tiny. So the overall structure that I put together is that there's a view controller, and the view controller can be instantiated with a data object, like, not data source, because I thought that would be confusing, but like a table view data object. And that's actually just a protocol. So that could be anything, but it could be a class. So that's just a protocol that I defined that implements stuff like cell for I think it's just self-index path and basically the data source patterns, all like the ones that I was using anyway. It implements those, and then it also implements like handle selection for cell at index path. And so the overall structure, the way I intended it to be used, is that you create this. I have my table view controller, and then I have a data object, and then the data object holds on to section objects, and the section objects are essentially just, it's a super thin wrapper around NS set or NS mutable ordered set. So the section is just is essentially NS mutable ordered set, except for it also has a but with some type safety. So it's, you know, it you can only hand it cells or an array of cells, and then it has one, and then it has a method on it to handle selection for the cell at index. So the way it would work is that in the table view controller, you'd get did select row at index path. Then that index path would get passed to the data object. The data object would take the section element of the index path and get the section that it needs, and then pass the row to the section. And then the section would pull the cell out, right? So it would just get the cell at index and then pull the cell out of its own internal set and then execute the block for the selection.
Got it.
So you build it from the bottom up. You build cells, and then you pass those cells into sections, and then you pass the section into a data object, and you pass the data object into the table view controller. It's like one of those Russian dolls.
Yeah. Yep.
Right? And then everything coming the other direction, it only knows about one layer. So all of the delegate patterns and everything on the way back down, the table view just gets the information from the data object. The data object then gets the proper information from the set, from the section. And then if the section actually needed anything from the cell, it would just get it from the cell and then pass it back up the chain that way.
Why did you choose to go with an ordered set instead of an array? What does that get you?
I don't remember why I did that.
The only thing I could think of would be that it would guarantee uniqueness.
There was a reason, and I don't remember what it is now. There's probably no reason that it's a mutable set, but again, that's like just a implementation detail that like I could change that.
Right.
I think for some reason I was thinking of using a set already, and so then I was like, well, it should be an ordered set, and then it should be, you know, obviously it's got to be. I don't know. I don't remember what decision process got me to make it a mutable set, mutable ordered set. But it is, but again, that doesn't really matter. Like, I could change that data structure out, like, in 2 seconds. And all I'd have to do is change the type in a couple places, and it would all just kind of work.
Yeah. One neat trick that I've been using to kind of make static table view management easier that I learned from the iOS Recipes book by Matt Drantz, which is a good one. It's just a bunch of, like, small tips and tricks, architecture stuff. Like each chapter, I think, is only like, you know, 4 or 5 pages. And what he suggests there is using an enum for everything, for like each section. So you'd have like list each section in there, and then the last item in the enum is the number of sections, because it becomes like the natural count of the items in there. And then you do that for each section and the rows in that section as well. And then when you're doing like cell for row at index path, or you're doing you know, number of sections in table view, number of rows in section, et cetera, you just use that enum instead of, you know, hard coding row and section indices. And the advantage here is that if you do it in this way, you can reorder things just by moving their position in the enum, and it will just naturally reorder itself. And it's a nice level of abstraction inside a table view. It's great.
Yeah, I've used that too. And it's a great, it's just kind of a great pattern. I mean, like the reordering stuff is awesome when you're just like, oh, you know what? This cell should come first, not last. And you just go, cool, copy paste. And you just move, you know, you have a diff of 2 lines, 1 addition, 1 deletion. And now you reordered your entire cell, or moving sections around becomes just as easy, you know? And like, you literally don't have to, your code may, I guess your code could deteriorate at that point, because it's like, when I'd write it out, I would write it out top down, right? Like, if you have a switch statement that's running through, then maybe eventually the switch is out of order from the actual order of the enum, but that's not a huge deal, because you've also gotten rid of the magic numbers and you've turned them into semantic words.
Right.
Right. So the order doesn't really matter, because there's more semantics behind the enum than just the number, the integer that it mm-hmm. represents.
Exactly. Something else we failed to mention that the table view controller gives you is the ability to use UI refresh control, which you, I don't think you can do any other way. Yeah, I think you can only use it with a table view controller, because there doesn't appear to be any other way via the UI refresh control's public interface to tie it to a table view. I mean, you don't get access to the view component of the refresh control, so there would be no way of...
to add it to your
exactly,
sub-views.
Exactly, right. Which is weird. Like, why would they just limit it to table view controller?
I don't know. Why would they limit static table views to storyboards?
Yep, good point. I don't know. What do you think about the crazy idea of just starting to give up on UI table view altogether?
And just using collection
yes.
views? I'm for
They're
it.
They're so powerful. Like,
especially in iOS 7, I'm for it.
Yes, for other reasons.
Yeah, I like you were saying, they're super powerful. They're way more flexible. You can re-implement the table view controller.
Collection view, flow layout.
Flow layout.
Yeah, and you just make all your cells the width of the view. And you've basically re-implemented UI table view, but you get, you know, decoration views and accessory views.
Yeah, I'm for it. I think it'd be a fun experiment to just try not to use any table view controllers in an entire app. Just never use a table view controller. Create a custom flow layout that just mimics table view controllers exactly, and then just use that instead. Mm-hmm. The only problems you would run into are the problems that we literally just said, which is that you can't use static table views and you can't use refresh control. It says in the documentation, you link a refresh control to a table through an associated table view controller object. So,
right, of which you have no control.
Right.
But I'm assuming that there's just some private initializer on UI refresh control that's like init with table view, and it has a weak reference to the table view, and then just inserts itself, and then probably like KVOs the content offset or something to handle the refreshing.
Yeah, sounds reasonable. Yeah, I don't know. Everything that UI table view makes difficult, or like even the cell height stuff, right? Like collection views handle cell height stuff way better than table views, right? Like I haven't used a collection view in a while, so. But like if you want to dynamically, you want to have a freaking cell, like dynamic height cells based on their content.
I think one thing that's easier is that you can change the size of the cell like at runtime, and everything will, it's a lot easier than in a table view.
That's what I'm saying.
With animation.
Yeah, the problem with table views is that the cell can set its own view height, but then that doesn't trickle down to the delegate or the data source, which one do we say does the height? The delegate?
I think so.
Like you have to reset the height for that specific cell there, and then that's incredibly slow because it has to check, call that method every single time a view cell appears. God forbid you do something with like embedding a UI web view inside a table view cell. Freaking miserable. So like, I feel like that would be simplified a lot in a collection view.
Yeah, just the ability to perform updates and have a completion handler is great. It automatically makes it so much more powerful than UI table view, because it has this perform batch updates completion. So you can move a bunch of things around, and then when it's done, you can do something. I think I've had cases before where I've like updated a table view manually, you know, inserted or deleted some rows, and it's moved where it's like moved the section that I'm looking at in the table view. And so at the end, what I want to do is I want to scroll back to a certain cell. With UI table view, that's not really possible. Like the best you can do is like set up a timer or set up an animation with a delay and then just like have it kind of wait until everything's rejiggered and then move the table view. It's just a bunch of little things like that. I think UI table view is just showing its age. It's got a lot of baggage.
You ever use the reusable header footer stuff? I never have. I've always like seen those, been like, that's a super good idea, and then I just haven't.
No, are those on table view or just collection view?
Table views. You can do reusable headers and footers now. Section headers and footers.
Okay. I'm guessing that's just because in a big table it might be expensive to keep.
Yeah, if you have 1,000 headers, well, you know, just create 2 basically, yeah. Maybe 3. Gotcha.
No, I haven't. I don't think I've been in a situation where I've had that many headers and footers where it made sense to reuse them.
But do you use the reuse stuff even if you have like on your static? On the static table view that you were talking about, do you still use the reuse dequeuing and all that stuff? Or do you just generate cells?
Yes, I do, because you need a reuse identifier to register a nib or a cell class with the table view.
Yeah.
And so I'll usually create a UI table view cell subclass for every type of cell, right? Mm-hmm. And then usually a separate nib object that goes along with it, and then just register that nib with a certain identifier. So yes, in that case, only because it's required to register a class or a nib with the table view.
Right, just to avoid. But then what do you cast the cell when you get it back? So then you do dequeue reusable cell with identifier. So do you do like a select, like a switch statement to figure out which reuse identifier you need, and then pass that into the dequeue statement, and then have to cast the return object based on the reuse side, based on the index
path? Yeah. So based on the index path, I will dequeue the appropriate cell with the right reuse identifier. And then for every different cell subclass, I usually have a distinct configure method. It's like, configure this type of cell for row at index path or this one. And then that's where they switch, just to kind of not overload cell for row at index path with a ton of code.
Yeah. 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 Especially in situations like that. Like I've done a lot of, you know, having a helper method, like a configure, or I've gone further and just like pulled the cell from like a cell for section and then pass the section index. They just create more helper methods around that. So like having a helper method for the section, and then the section configures it the right way. And
yeah, absolutely. But I think that's what that sort of like data object you were referring to aims to like do away with, right? And like pull all that into a separate kind of object instead of just, I mean, right. It's good to have more methods that are well-named and...
Well, it's just more objects, you know what I mean? Putting more objects in the line so each thing is legitimately only responsible for one thing. Like the sections are legitimately only responsible for holding on to cells, and then I guess you could see it as a, like, and then handling the selection for the cell, I guess, is a second responsibility that it technically has, but the cell and the section are coupled together in a way that I'm not sure how to extract that. But so the section only cares about holding on to cells, essentially, and then the data object only really cares about holding on to sections, and then the view controller, the data source, only really cares about interacting with the data.
It sounds like a good pattern moving forward. We should explore this more. Is it something you think you could open source? Like extract from...
Yeah, I can at least... I'll put the headers up.
Cool. Essentially.
That what you mean? I mean, that's the only... Like, the implementation is so dead simple that be able to figure it out from the headers. So I can add that to that. We have a... we added it a little bit after episode... to the episode about APIs and stuff, because I think people were having having some trouble following the, we were talking kind of the same thing of this, like kind of talking about some patterns that may be difficult to visualize. So we added a, we have a, under the ThoughtBot organization, we actually have a build phase GitHub repository now that will hold source code if we need to post source code. So we'll link to that in the show notes to this episode. So I'll throw it up there after.
So UI table view controller, powerful, maybe showing its age a little bit, but still a workhorse. Maybe move to collection views in the future and just throw table views away. I don't know. That would be awesome.
Wrap it up.
Button it up.
The show notes that I mentioned earlier can be found at learn.thoughtbot.com/buildphase/7.
We also want to hear from you. Email us at buildphase@thoughtbot.com. You can also hit us up on app.net or Twitter, just @buildphase.
This show was produced by Chad Pytel and recorded and edited by Mike Manner.